Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. What is your life? Oh, there have been many attempts to define life. Some picture it as a battle to be fought, a race to be run, or as a ship on the high seas that leaves one port, the port of birth, and sails to another, the port of death. Shakespeare likened life to an act on the stage, and we're all actors until the final curtain falls. Others have called it a leaf of paper on which we write until there's no more space. It has been called a game to play with each one in his position until the final whistle blows, ending the game. Life has been simply defined as that span of time between birth and death. Whatever way we might choose to describe it or define it, it must end. Life is never finished. It just stops. Hebrews 9:27 tells us, "And it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment." Solomon said, "There is a time for many things," and he included, "a time to die," Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 2. James said life was a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away, James 4 and verse 4. The only way to escape death, as has been experienced by all those who have gone before us, is to be living when the Lord returns, and even then we shall be changed, 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 53. All of us will cease to be as we are now. Well, when will the day of your death come? You may know the date of the death of some loved one, some prominent person. But when will be the date of your death? When will that be settled? Proverbs 27 and verse 1 says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." It may be sometime today. Obviously, we do not know. Even if we remain until the coming of the Lord, we cannot know, because that day is not revealed unto us, Matthew 24 and verse 42. But it will come, eventually. The Scriptures emphasize the brevity and the uncertainty of life and the certainty of death, James 4, 13 through 16. Have you ever seen the instability of the vapors that rise from the spout of a tea kettle? It is insecure and certainly unstable. Is it not void of permanence? Well, so is life. When will the day of your death be? Will it be soon? Is it distant? Have you ever wondered what kind of day it might be, the day you die? Will it be one of sunshine or rain, wind or storms? What season will it be? Will it be summer, winter, spring, or fall? It will be one of these. We have been at the graveside when it was raining and snowing, bitter cold, also times when it's intensely hot, when the sun was hidden beneath the clouds, when it was soft and warm. Will your death possibly be at night, near the stroke of 12, or early in the morning, or even during the rush hours? Who can tell? And how many of us would really want to know anyway? Though these things we cannot know, we know it will be sometime, do we not? Where will you be when death inevitably overtakes you? Now, you may be at home, you may be on a visit, you may be attending to business, you may be at some special event. It may be beside the machine you operate for a livelihood, or even behind your office desk. Possibly it will be in a hospital, or in your own bed or chair, your own backyard, or even beside the road. And what will you have been doing just prior to your death? Will you be alone, with friends, with family, among strangers? Will you have left everyone the way you would want to have left them, with kind words and a smile, possibly even a prayer? Or would you have left them with a scold and a fight and a sneer, and cross words and animosity? Just how will it be when you go out into the next world? How will you be remembered by those who remain? That day is bound to come. Now, we know not when, we know not where, we know not how we shall die. It is keenly impressed on my mind a family friend who died slowly, agonizing in pain after a long illness of suffering, each day wondering, almost hoping that life would be terminated. I recall my mother telling me how my father died. He arose from his bed early one morning, went to the window to pull down the shade to prevent the sun from shining into his eyes, returning to bed, and in a moment, breathing his last breath. There was no warning. I once read of a lad only 12 years old who was called to supper by his mother. He had been playing across the street in his friend's yard. Before the eyes of his friend and his mother, he was struck down by a passing automobile. Now, this is not an unusual thing. The very first sermon I preached when I was preaching in South Bend, Indiana, was of a man who had gone to deliver some paint, and he was killed in an automobile accident instantly. Another dear sister, just an hour before she was to babysit with my own children, was wrapping Christmas presents. She ran out of ribbon, dashed across the street for some more, but never got back because she was overrun by a car. Death comes in many ways. A sobering story I read was that of a soldier who had returned to this country after being in battle. He telephoned his folks that he was safe and he was coming home. He replaced the receiver of the telephone. He went out of the booth. A runaway truck knocked down some live electrical wires and he was electrocuted. My friend, you can recall many experiences of your own in many situations. The stories could go on and on because each death is a story worth telling. But the point is that death came, and that the day of death comes to every person. Death is no respecter of age or wealth or health or geography or anything else. The point is that regardless of when or where or how, death will come to me and it will come to you. Now, am I trying to be morbid? Am I trying to create fear in you? Well, I am certainly not trying to be morbid. Create fear? Well, possibly to some extent. At least enough to arouse you to some serious thought. But the primary motive is to help us all to be realistic and face the fact that there is an eternity awaiting us. The Lord used fear to awaken and to arouse us, and possibly it is good that we fear some things. It is not easy to face these matters. We do not wish to dwell on morbid things, but it is senseless and foolish not to give them some consideration. We live so much of life in imagination and make-believe that we run from unpleasant realities. But they do not go away just because we push them from our mind. Does it surprise you for me to tell you that when and where and how you die is not the important matter about death anyway? Oh yes, we're concerned about such things. We concern ourselves with so many matters. For instance, what you did today, how you occupied your time. You know, time is the substance from which life is made. If you could know that today would be your last, would you live it differently than what you have planned? Do you fret over what to serve at the next meal? Would you wonder whether mowing the lawn was really all that important? Would you fix your car? Or whatever you do, does it really matter? If you know that this was your last day. Now surely there must be some things we would do differently if we could know. But we cannot know, and therefore we do what we feel is demanding of us. Now this is an essential part of living, and these seemingly trivial matters, although they're relatively insignificant, they do matter to some extent. But on the day of one's death, are they really the most important things? Only when we consider the day of our death can we focus proper attention upon what really counts. And many of us are missing the mark concerning the things that matter. In Luke chapter 12, we read of a man He was rich in this world's goods. But oh, how he missed the importance of the things that really matter. We read about the rich man in Luke chapter 16. He missed the things that really matter. Here were people who lived just like you're living now, and they missed the point of life. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Mark 8, verse 36. But does not this help us to consider the important things? May I suggest to you some things that really matter on the day you die? How did you treat your family? Did you love your wife or husband as you should? And what of your children? Did you treat them with respect and kindness and concern, seeking their highest good? I think that will matter on the day that you die. And how did you use your influence? You have influence, you know. Romans 14:7. And you shall give an account of it. This is why Paul urged us to abstain from the appearance of evil. Was your life's influence on the side of good or the side of evil? That will matter on the day you die. What example did you manifest day in and day out? Was God glorified, or would he be ashamed of you? How did you speak to other people? Did you control your tongue? Matthew 12 tells us, "For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." Whether or not you showed love for others, especially your brethren, will make a great difference on the day you die. The two great commandments are named by Jesus as loving God and loving your neighbor, Matthew 22:35-40. Will your life have been wasted, or will it have been wisely spent? What heritage do you leave for others? Will you face God empty-handed? Will you be likened unto the prodigal son in the swine pit, or as one who has returned home? Are you to be like Judas, who destroyed himself? Oh, the years of sinning wasted! Would I but recall them now. But how did you meet your responsibilities in life? That will matter on the day you die. We're not responsible for many things of our lives because they're out of our control. But there are so many, many things for which we are responsible. What I make of myself, what I do with my talents, how I live, what standards I use to measure, what I am before God and man, for these things I am personally responsible. Robert E. Lee once said, "Duty is the most sublime word in the English language." Whether he was right about that or not, duty is certainly important. How you did your duty will be important on the day you die. The sense of duty has caused many people to even face death rather than to turn their back on duty. Did you brighten the corner where you are? You know, not many of us shall ever have an impact that affects the whole world. We can do something, however, about the corner where we live. Will anybody else be in heaven because of you, or will somebody else be in hell because of you? Well, this will matter on the day you die, and the reason they matter is because we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in the body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. Solomon wrote, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandment, for this is the whole duty of man," Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13. But what matters most on the day we die is our relationship to God. To be among those who shall enjoy heaven, we must be in Christ and die in the Lord. Salvation is in Christ, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 10. There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ, Romans 8 and verse 1. The blessed are those who die in the Lord, Revelation 14:13. All spiritual blessings are in Christ, Ephesians 1 and verse 3. And when the final hour of my life and your life shall have ticked away, all that matters is, have I been a true and faithful child of God in Christ? All that matters is whether or not we fought the good fight and kept the faith and finished the course, as Paul said that he had done in 2 Timothy 4, 6-8. And after we breathe our last, no treasure of earth is of any value to us, but only those treasures that we've laid up in heaven, Matthew 6, 19 and 20. The song says, "Earth holds no treasures, but perish with using, however precious they be. Yet there's a country to which I am going. Heaven holds all to me." Friend, these thoughts are not sensational, but true and realistic. This paragraph may be the last one that you shall ever hear, or that I shall ever speak. Someday, it will be that way. We must be impressed that how we stand before God is the utmost urgency of life. When your span on earth is o'er, what waits on yonder shore? Ask not where, nor when the day, nor how you will end your stay, but fear the Lord and His way to keep, and death will be but blissful sleep. You'll start your flight to worlds on high on the day that you must die. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time, if there be a next time.